This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Want to remind everybody to come out to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers on Friday in Euless, especially if you're attractive.
You might end up getting your lunch taken care of from the one and only Stephanie.
There you go.
Who is single and ready to mingle.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know if we needed to say that part, but here we are.
Why else would she take care of your lunch?
Because she's just a nice person.
That's true. Dump that all, Alec, if you don't mind. It's a terrible way to start the show.
I think it's too much. Now,
can we just pretend this never happened?
Alec, we have also started a campaign. I don't know if you support this campaign or not, that perhaps Zach should be on our show on Friday because Lucius is also going to be at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. And really, how many people do you need out there? And so we could just bring Zach into our show for Friday.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a 50-50 chance that Corey even shows up at this point, so we might need the help.
Oh, okay.
We might need the help.
No, he's fine. They're looking at colleges.
Yeah, as one does.
I only know UNT offhand. I don't remember what other colleges
I just saw UNT. I thought the other 2 days were the similar rehab stint that you went on.
No, man. Do you know how many texts I got eventually? Because we were on a cruise, and I didn't get those texts like on the cruise, but whenever we would go to port, it was like, oh, you have 12 new messages. And they're like, hey, man, I just wanted to let you know, stand strong. And then I got several like really, really nice messages from people who are like, hey, I was an addict for 29 years. Every day's a fight, but you got this. And I was like, because of these two Nimrods jacking around, people were like pouring their hearts out. And it was really, really nice. And I was just on a regular cruise. Or at least that's the story I'll always stick to.
Was it a regular cruise? We don't know that.
It was.
It might have been like
Alaska.
A wellness cruise. Well, I would call that a wellness cruise. It's a beautiful place.
That's probably true.
It feels like you're just in a movie when you're in Alaska and you're just looking around at the gorgeous scenery.
It really, really did.
I'd be in on this Friday deal because then afterwards I can go to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers and just literally soak up all the March Madness without having to work with the Cholos. So maybe we can make this happen.
And by the way, tomorrow, KNC for a day. Jim Johnson will be on the show with us, as will the returning Corey Majors.
Oh, the guy that makes all the WWE music.
No, I knew you were going to say that. What an obscure reference. I don't know how many people actually get that. Now, I had a couple of questions to start because we can go a couple of different directions. How much do you care about the... I want to make sure I phrase this right, about the ongoing, I guess, Micah conversation. Because I know that Calvin was on this morning with the morning show.
Yep.
And he has the article, Do the Cowboys Have a Micah Problem?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've talked about that before. And I guess at the moment, I'm like, Micah problem or no, the extension's going to happen in the next few days. One would guess.
Yeah.
That would be my guess. And so I guess I'm not really invested in it. Where are you guys? Wolchuk, Alec, listeners, where are y'all in terms of like, no, I want to talk about Micah in terms of, do we still need to stop this and maybe make a trade and rebuild and blah, 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 and all that other good stuff.
Well, you take this first, Alec.
I thought the morning show had a great approach to it that, yeah, thanks, Bob. Bobby's in here if you couldn't tell.
Beautiful boy.
I do think that this is starting to get overblown, not from the media perspective, but from the fan perspective, that this is all stuff that we've already known. This is all stuff that obviously the team wants to talk about as if, hey, we plan on having you here, so we may as well address it now.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say it's a non-story. I think it's important. I think that it's real conversations that are happening within the building. I know that for a fact. But I do think that some people are taking this the wrong way, that it's almost like smearing the name of a player rather than saying, hey, these are real-life things that are being talked about. The team wants to address it. The player himself, it sounds like, is willing to address it himself too. And they just want to move past this so they can have that marriage. So I do think it's important to talk about, but I do think that some people are receiving it the wrong way.
Quick side question. Sometimes do you think that Bobby and the things he says are non-stories, though?
Yeah, I think a lot of times. I think a lot of times the stuff that he says about me personally are non-stories.
Yeah.
So, you know, inherently, I do think some of his football conversations might be non-stories, too.
Yeah, but the piercings are stories. Alec, you and I both know that.
You and Miss Rachel.
Absolutely. Oh, stop. I had to double check that because my daughter is a big Miss Rachel fan.
It's just the son, people! Yes, I've seen the video.
I don't think that was the son. I think the video, whatever she does on her free time, I don't care. She makes content that my daughter enjoys and makes her happy and makes her smile. So as long as she's happy, I'm happy.
Just wait. The next waves, I believe, will potentially be Blippi, Baba Blast.
I'm not doing the Blippi deal.
And at least
not with a daughter, at least.
And Danny Go. Danny Go is nice and wholesome, and sometimes those songs are really catchy.
But Alec, I agree with you. Look, the smear campaign stuff is the most irritating nonsense that is complete fabrication and bull. If we wanted to go on a smear campaign, there are things that we've known about a variety of players for years, and we don't share it out of respect for the team and out of respect for the player. So the smear campaign stuff can you go kick rocks. That's a bunch of bull. All this with Micah, they know about it. Micah's not going anywhere. I got tipped off last night that this deal's going to get done this week. And then I immediately went to work and started asking around. I think Jane's very plugged in on this. I know Bobby was talking about that as well. I trust what Jane is reporting.
Yeah.
I think Jane is very in the know. I do think that the numbers that we were thinking, oh my gosh, the $45 million per, I don't think it's going to get anywhere near close to that.
Okay.
I think that, you know, some of the stuff that you saw Terrence Parsons, Micah's brother, put out there, I think those numbers are going to end up being close, but I don't think that anything's finalized by any means. But you know how these negotiations go. All of a sudden, you have one good conversation, ball starts rolling. This thing could be done in a couple of days.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a bad conversation, and then all of a sudden we're going to back off here. This thing now lingers. But I think a lot of progress was made probably at the scouting combine, and it's continued to be made this week. But the stuff with Micah, Jerry loves him. And as long as you've got Jerry's approval, he's not going anywhere. And it's very difficult to find players that are as talented and can impact games like Micah Parsons does. So it's like the Luka conversation. Is Micah a leader? I don't believe so. Leaders don't talk about being leaders. You are a leader.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of things the Cowboys will probably have a conversation with to Micah about being there for OTAs and mini camps and making sure you are there. We have a new defense that we are trying to put in place. So when you weren't there last year, did that end up having any impact on us starting the season slowly on defense? I don't know, but it might have. But either way, your best player sets the tone for how you practice. So a lot of these things that other veteran players like Malik Hooker have expressed and DeMarcus Lawrence have expressed, and I believe there's other people in that locker room, not that they don't like Micah, but they know the other people will follow Micah's tone. And if he comes in moody one day and doesn't really feel like putting in the work, other people will look at that and say, ooh, should I put in the work right now?
Interesting breakdown from you gentlemen right there. I keep thinking about the dynamic, something that you said of, well, Jerry Jones likes him, and I just am juxtaposing that with, like, Mark Cuban obviously never would have approved the Luka trade and all of that good stuff. thoughts that the confidence level that the deal gets done before Monday morning?
I would say I'm probably 75% confident.
Okay.
I'm very, very confident this deal is going to get done. I might even move up to 80%.
All right. I like it. Now, in the meantime, go ahead and give me cut number one if you can, because I want to know about some of the newest Cowboys and what kind of impact they can actually have.
Making a big play for Tennessee. Flacco steps up in the pocket, throws a dart, batted up in the air and picked off. Intercepted by Murray.
Now, let's start with Kenneth Murray. So Kenneth Murray Jr. said he's, quote, looking to be the dude for the Cowboys defense. Now, you can think whatever you want on that. I just kind of thought it meant like one of the main guys that you can lean on, somebody in the middle that you can absolutely have faith in. What are your expectations, or what are y'all's expectations for Kenneth Murray Jr. going into the season?
I think he's a guy that can get you 100 tackles. I really do. I think that he's going to fit this style that Eberflus wants to play, run, chase, you know, don't overthink things. I think they'll probably do a better job of putting him in position where his weakness of maybe coverage and certain things we've seen him have issues with in the past, he's not having to do. I think Maris Leifau is a good coverage linebacker, and then who knows? Maybe they end up drafting another linebacker that can help in that role as well. But I am actually cautiously optimistic about Kenneth Murray Jr. I've said that on the show with you before. And I know I love John Owning. John Owning's a buddy of mine, and he doesn't like the signing. Okay. But to me, I liked the player coming out of college, and I think you've seen him produce as a starting linebacker in the league. And I do think moving on from Mike Vrabel and that style of defense to their new head coach and what they were running in Tennessee last year did not fit his skill set.
All right, now another one to go along with this. I'm going to kick this over to you first, Alec. Give me cut number three, and I want to talk about this next gentleman.
Burrow spins. Burrow is sacked. And a timeout call down at the 29, Solomon Thomas.
Now, Capel's own Solomon Thomas, one of the things that he said, I believe it was yesterday, if not, it was the day before, that he sees coming to the Cowboys as the opportunity to play his best football. And let's be honest, his NFL career has been disappointing.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Considering where he was drafted and the hype level that was on him. I mean, I think you could actually make that argument for all three of these gentlemen.
No doubt.
But Solomon Thomas, what kind of realistic expectations do you have for him?
I don't have any crazy expectations, but I do think that he has a point that he can play some better football here, because I've noticed a trend really with all the offseason acquisitions is it feels like every single one of them are a scheme fit in some sort of way, as Zach just broke down with Kenneth Murray Jr. I think Kaiir Elam is a better fit in Eberflus' system than he would be in a Sean McDermott system. And I think Solomon Thomas is a better scheme fit here. I think he will be productive as a secondary guy. You don't want to ask him to be the main star of the interior of the defensive line anywhere across the defensive line. That's what Micah Parsons is for. But I do think that he's going to be a productive run stopper. And you have the connection with Aaron Whitecotton on staff now. So I think that there's a lot of good things. And you heard some really good insight from the Bills GM on the morning show this morning, talking about Kaiir Elam, where he said, you know, sometimes a change of scenery is really good for a player. And I think that coming back home, you've seen this story play out in the NFL and pro sports in general before, where sometimes dudes just want the chance to go home. You know, they want to be close to home. They want to play. We know that Solomon Thomas is a guy that's been vocal about mental health and his struggles in life. So
I just want to shout out real quick. A couple of years ago, me, Solomon Thomas, and Dak Prescott did a national panel on mental health. So I'm with you there. And I'm rooting for him.
Have you reached out to Dak since then?
No, I do not believe that he wants to talk to me.
But that might be a great way to extend an olive branch.
I have definitely tried. we'll try again.
Okay. I agree with what you're saying there, Alec, especially the Aaron Whitecotton stuff. He had his best seasons, 5 sacks, career high 2023, 3.5 sacks a year ago. I think he's the one along the defensive line that they've added that I'm most excited about. You know, I actually have somebody that can take a little bit of pressure off of Osa. They've had nobody else to really go ahead and fill in that you feel good about if you're going to switch out linemen. So this can maybe keep Osa stay fresh throughout the course of the season, which throughout his career, you've seen him fade at maybe the last month.
Yeah.
Last year was kind of the opposite. He started slow, then picked up steam throughout the year. But I love the addition of Solomon Thomas. But you're right. Like, you got to manage expectations. I'm not looking at him as like, oh, this is a Pro Bowler guy. He's a rotational, good backup defensive lineman to have. And I just can't rely on Peyton Turner to be available because throughout his career, he hasn't been.
Now, we're going to go one more. We're going to fire up cut number two here. And it's a new addition, even though he was only gone for a year. He had a heck of a year when he was gone. Mr. Dante Fowler Jr.
Right to left for the Eagles. Hurts in the gun. Ball's in the middle of the Eagle feathers at midfield. Back to throw. Pressure. Hit. Barry. Fowler was the first one there. Just a step ahead of Parsons.
One of the things that I like that Fowler said was, I just keep coming out there with a chip on my shoulder, keep proving I love football. So I play this game for the love of the game. Every time I go out there and get an opportunity to play football, I'm going to leave it all out there. So just even the discussion of, like, I know it's kind of an effort discussion, but also the fact that he said he still feels like he has something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back to the Cowboys, which you kind of get that because they're like, oh, yeah, no, you did a good job, but not a good enough for us to want to keep you. And so now he's back. Expectations for Dante Fowler, are they the highest among these three for him as opposed to the other two?
Probably. I mean, I don't know if they're the highest, but I think, you like, Cowboy fans, we know him, right? He plays here for 2 years, so we know what to expect.
Yes.
From Dante Fowler. That's a guy that can get you anywhere from 5 sacks to 11 sacks. So he's a guy that has been, as I said yesterday, a splash player, if you will. When he has been on the field, there will usually be a play that you're like, damn, there's Dante Fowler Jr., whether it's a tackle for loss, a strip fumble, a sack, whatever it is. Good things have happened with him on the field. But again, rotational piece. It's just allowing the Eagles show this, and other teams that have won the Super Bowl, when the Giants are winning 2 Super Bowls, you need to have depth. You need to keep your guys fresh along the defensive line. Here's another guy that can come in and help take some of the pressure off of Micah Parsons and others.
Yeah, it's really fun whenever you can kind of do the hockey line change across your defensive line.
That's true.
In football, whenever you have that much depth to where teams have to respect every personnel group that you bring out there. And I think that's what Dante Fowler does, is he forces that respect for a secondary pass rush unit to come in to where offensive coordinators can't say, we can take a player or two off here. They say, there's still some really good players that we want to avoid, so we might want to run directly at said player to try to block him out of a play, so on and so forth. So if you can try to get some of these veteran guys that offensive coordinators have to respect, Dante Fowler is one good step, and then you add in some returning players from injury like a Marshawn Nealand, a Sam Williams, some of those younger guys to kind of mix into the fold too, then I think you've got a really fun defensive unit up front. Then that just leaves me concerned about everything behind it.
See, and I just wanted to run through that because I thought it would be interesting to get that perspective and kind of, I know the Cowboys don't spend big in free agency, so for a lot of people, that automatically equals failure.
Says you.
But I I do say that. So I did just want to throw out, like, some of the ideas behind the acquisitions of these players. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we're going to move it up. Baseball Nuggets. Let's talk about the newest addition to the Texas Rangers. Next on The Fan.
3-2, runner goes. Swing and a miss on a fastball up. Patrick Corbin. 4 strikeouts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're going to have Tim Kirchen on at 10:40. So we're moving up Baseball Nuggets right here. Baseball Nuggets, of course, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. So let's talk.
Ooh-ah, buckets.
I like that. About Patrick Corbin in just 1 second. But first, good news for Texas Rangers fans. The deal has been made with Fubo.
Woo!
To widen the streaming audience. Now, Mike had said it was always going to be on DirecTV. I think yesterday or the day before, DirecTV finally put out the notification that it was going to be on 677. But now the Rangers have gotten to a deal with Fubo as well. And so it feels like these games are going to be available to way more people than they have for the last couple of years.
It's we discussed this a little bit yesterday. You don't have to freak out if you don't want to pay the $100. And you can, if you just want to make sure I know exactly where I'm going and I don't want to stress about, hey, can I watch this on my phone if I'm traveling? Do that. Go ahead. But if you have Fubo, DirecTV, I think YouTube TV is just also in on this. So basically anybody that you've got as your provider, you can watch Rangers baseball now.
Agreed. Now, from the 806, if you want to go ahead and tweet Mike for thank him for making this happen, because Mike gets really annoyed by people asking that. And he's like, I have nothing to do with it. So if you want to just tweet him this morning and say, hey, thanks for making this all happen, or thanks for making the Fubo deal happen, or
thanks, Mike,
whatever the case is, I'm sure that would annoy him. And I support that. Now, let's talk about Patrick Corbin. This is complicated because he got a 1 year, about $1 million-plus guaranteed deal with a few million in incentives, which is weird to say that as like a throwaway. When can you imagine if they're like, hey, Alec, you get a few million in incentives for you in your job today? That would be freaking amazing.
Must be nice.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Patrick Corbin has not been good at pitching for a really long time.
Oh, come on. He was a World Series champion not that long ago.
What year was that?
It's like 2019.
That's a long time ago. So let's take you to his wars in complete seasons since 2021. Negative 1.1. The next year, negative 2.5. The next year, got into the positive category, 0.4. And then last year, negative 0.9. So I just want to point out, over the last 4 years, Patrick Corbin averages a negative war of about 1. His ERAs in those years, 5.82, 6.31, 5.2, and 5.62. Those are the negatives. Here are the positives. Don't worry, they're coming. You guys were talking about this quite a bit in the break. The Rangers have a pretty good track record of taking, I don't know, pitchers off the junk heap or the scrap pile or however you want to say it, and turning them into, in some cases, usable pitchers, in some cases, like, pretty darn good pitchers, right?
Mike Minor, all-star. Kyle Gibson, all-star.
Lance
Martin
Lynn.
Perez, all-star. Yeah. Lance Lynn, my doppelganger, my spirit animal.
I could see that.
Did he make the all-star game too?
I think he did.
So there you go. I mean, I think that Patrick Corbin is the next in line. They needed a lefty, Alec. Let's go. All-star Patrick Corbin is back.
I mean, at the very minimum.
He was an all-star twice, but not with the Rangers. Sorry.
Well, I mean, he hasn't played with us yet, so
but he's
just
about
give it time.
To be.
Exactly,
I mean,
just give it
Lance
time.
Lynn.
Oh.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah,
but a damn good run with the Rangers.
Yeah, I'm intrigued just because, like you said, Woolchuck, they do need a lefty in the rotation, but at the same time, we're kind of tossing this around during the break. At minimum, he'll eat innings for you. And with the bullpen already in question, that was the biggest question of the offseason, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, who's going to pitch the seventh, eighth, ninth inning? Well, now you've got some major gaps in your rotation that you got to figure out. So how can you prevent some of those issues on the back end is having your guys give you quality starts. And whether they are fun outings and really efficient game-winning efforts, that's for him to decide when he actually takes them out. But if he can save you innings, then you don't have to worry about putting non-leverage guys in leverage situations. So I'm intrigued at the very least.
And that's where you get to, and this will all tie into something that Chris Young said, the shocking negative wars. Because usually if you have a negative war, you just don't get to play enough to really build that up. But with Corbin, it's true. It's true. But if you look at Corbin in 21, 22, and 24, they continued to use him, the Nationals, that is, no matter how much he struggled because of this specific thing. And I want you to listen. Well, you'll just have to listen to me say the words of Chris Young. Quote, tell me where this is going. The last week, our circumstances changed with starting pitching and depth. The opportunity to bring in Patrick, who has been an inning stabilizer for more than 10 years and who is a veteran competitor and by all accounts a winning personality who will fit in our clubhouse, just gives us added protection. Translation, it might not be the best innings, but he can pitch a lot of
them. What we need.
Patrick Corbin is kind of the buffet of baseball pitchers. There's a lot. You'll get a lot. Might not be the best, but the portions are incredible. And so for Corbin specifically, over the last 4 years, he's thrown 679 innings. If you look at the last seven seasons that were full seasons, obviously this takes out the COVID 2020 season, he's averaged 159 innings pitched per season.
It's impressive.
And then you guys brought up the other, probably the biggest thing. He's left-handed.
Yeah.
So that discussion we had yesterday about Rocker and Leiter, I'm not sure how long it's going to take, but they ain't both going to be in the rotation now, barring injury, because my sense is that Patrick Corbin, at least for a time, depending on how the rest looks with Bradford, is going to be one of your starting pitchers because he might give up five runs along the way. In fact, there's a decent chance that he will, but he'll give you six innings. So, yeah, maybe you'll get four runs given up in six innings, and so you'll get that pretty consistently. You won't thrash your bullpen, which, let's be honest, I like the potential for Leiter and Rocker way more. We all do. But you can definitely see a Leiter or a Rocker start going two and a third, something like that. Whereas Patrick Corbin will pretty consistently push ahead. He'll get you the six innings, and he won't be a constant drain on your bullpen.
That's like the 817 just texted, and so glad you're excited for a guy who is going to give up five runs in 4 to 5 innings. Well, the other part of this is Chris Young has talked about how good he thinks his offense is going to be.
That's right.
So as I mentioned yesterday, you score all the runs. We're getting 10 runs a game here, right? Realistically, let's go 7 to 8 runs a game. You should be okay and be able to weather the storm of Patrick Corbin giving up 4 or 5 in 6 or 7 innings pitched. And you made the point also, as did Alec, about the bullpen. But the Rangers have a lot of guys, and if they end up having to start Leiter or Rocker, or even if it's Tyler Mahle and Seiya DeGrom, and you don't want to stretch these guys who are coming back from injuries, you're going to have to use your middle relievers. It's nice to have at least one guy in the rotation, along with Evo, that you feel can go 7 innings, and that can give your bullpen a little bit of a breather.
I want to go back to this just for 1 second, and I'm always curious the emotions people project on us. I don't know what part of this discussion has led you to take that I am excited about the Patrick Corbin signing. I'm just telling you what I think is going to happen. And what I think is going to happen is they're going to put him in the rotation, maybe not on opening day because obviously we're off to a later start with him, but sooner rather than later because they believe he can be inning stabilizer is code for bullpen saver, all right?
Yes, and bullpen saver, and Patrick Corbin.
And I feel like I was pretty clear going over his wars and his ERA, so I don't know how you, not you, Alec, I know I'm looking at you, how you took excitement out of that, but that is a take.
I think that's a fair question. I will say, and Alec, I sometimes think Kevin forgets that we're like on YouTube and on Twitch and you can watch us. And he was literally just on the Rangers website ordering a Patrick Corbin jersey.
He was.
So for that reason, all, I think that would allude, that there's a lot of excitement here. If you're going to buy a custom, because they don't even have him on the shop yet. Mm-hmm. He's literally custom making a Patrick Corbin 69 jersey.
And he was jumping up and down as he was talking about the signing and talking about the incentives because he was thinking of the idea of him thriving and succeeding to earn more money. Mm-hmm. And then we trade him at the trade deadline to go get somebody better, you know. So
To balance this out, what I get a 69 jersey or would I get a 6.9 jersey to represent his probable ERA for the season?
There is the Kevin we know and love.
Yep. Super optimistic. We love it.
Can't go 162-0 without winning the first one, baby.
But you're not going to go 162-0.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do.
No, you're
not going to go 152-10. You're almost definitely not going to go 142-20, though the Dodgers might. It's not going to happen.
I do want to throw out something interesting, though. I was listening to the pregame show here on The Fan last night, as you all should. And Eric Nadell with Bruce Bochy. Boch said, he was like, think about what we did with Michael Lorenzen. You know, he was like, yes, that was a point of need. We had to kind of ramp him up and build him back up. But what happened? He turned into a very valuable asset, and then they ended up moving on from him because he had value. And they were able to add to the team because of him, and he helped stabilize that rotation and stabilize the bullpen. So, you know, I'm not saying it's going to end up being that good and that successful, but they've shown that they can do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, John Gray update to go along with this, because the corresponding move to pick up Patrick Corbin, John Gray moved to the 60-day injured list, which means you won't see him back until at least May. Disappointing, but can't say particularly surprising.
No,
right?
This could have been way worse. The news that Jared gave us about him not having surgery, and then if he had have had to have the surgery, all indications were that would have been a season ender.
Yikes.
So this is huge and honestly positive news that he's only on the 60-day IL, and the hope is that he can come back by June.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of other things to add. Keep an eye out on this. I don't know if you guys still like feverishly follow Yu Darvish, but we talked about, hey, he wasn't going to get the opening day start. Now we're getting more information about that. He is even questionable to be available because of elbow inflammation. That doesn't need to be the end of the world, but that certainly feels like a triggering phrase when it comes to pitchers.
It's definitely triggering for us,
yeah,
right? Because that's what you start to hear. I mean, what was it with Bradford? Wasn't it elbow?
Yes.
And so now he's shut down for multiple weeks. Remember, I mean, Yu Darvish might end up on the IL here before we know it.
Remember, the scan was clean and he's fine. Mm-hmm. We just need to shut him down for
Yeah, just
weeks.
That MRI. Because he's perfect. Fine. He is fine, Kevin.
Okay.
Golly,
great.
This guy.
You're telling me there's no chance that maybe he's not fine?
I'm telling you there's a chance that he is fine.
Okay. That was a good way to counteract that. By the way, Lance McCullers Jr., yesterday, he stepped onto a mound for the first time since the 2022 World Series.
What?
It's been 868 days since he threw.
I get him confused with another old bearded Astros pitcher. Is it Keuchel? Who ended up pitching with the Rangers for a little bit.
Yeah.
So I first read this, I was like, this isn't true. This is a bull.
It is true.
But I was thinking Dallas Keuchel.
There you go. Different
dudes.
Different human beings.
Have you seen him in the same room together?
I mean, look, I will also say, as somebody who falls into this category, bearded white people are easy to confuse.
I mean, Eric and I get confused all the time. Why? Because we're both really good looking and we mm-hmm. both have beards.
That's what I was thinking. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with ESPN senior MLB writer Tim Kirkjian right here on 105.3 The Fan.
There's an absolute tank! Right center field! It is! Off the wall. To second goes Ohtani. To home goes Ohtani. It was a home run.
It was indeed a home run in the Tokyo series this morning. Right now, let's bring to you ESPN senior MLB writer Tim Kirkjian. Good morning, sir.
How you doing, fellas?
We're doing pretty good. You sound tired. Is that because you've been up since like 2 in the morning watching baseball and getting ready and stuff?
I've been tired since 1979, which is the year I started covering baseball. And yes, I've been up all morning watching baseball, but finally we have games that count. I love spring training. I love watching spring training games, but everything changes when the numbers count. And the last two mornings, I was more than happy to get up at 5:45 Eastern time to watch 6 o'clock baseball that really counted.
And it feels fair to say that MLB is so happy that they have not only such a foothold in Japan already, but so many Japanese superstars that have been featured the last couple of days, including the obvious Ohtani home run. How big has baseball, Major League Baseball specifically, because I know baseball's always been big in Japan. How big has Major League Baseball gotten in Japan?
It's enormous, as we saw the last 2 days. I mean, those crowds were unbelievable. And granted, crowds are unbelievable all the time in Japan. That's how much they love their baseball there, and they play it at an exceptionally high level. But when you bring back Ohtani and Imanaga and Yamamoto and then Roki Suzuki today, I mean, it was an absolute perfect combination of two teams coming back to play in Japan, and they put on a show. I mean, Sasaki wasn't great today, but the first two pitches were 101 miles an hour. The two guys who started yesterday pitched exceptionally well, and of course, Ohtani got three knocks, hit a home run in the two games, and I'm not sure I've ever seen anyone who rises to the occasion more often and in bigger spots than that guy, and he did it again today.
With the success of course, the Tokyo series and then what we had with the World Baseball Classic, do you think that MLB will try and pursue more of these international series like they're doing the MLB in Monterey? Obviously, we've seen England take part in this. Or is it just Tokyo? Japan is so popular, it just works out with the Tokyo series.
Yes, it's going to keep working out with Japan because they love the game so much. And to repeat, it's played so well over there. But I went to England the last 2 years to do those games from the booth, and it was great. Now, granted, it wasn't the same level of interest or sophistication when it came to the fans in England as you did in Japan. But, boy, the Cubs and Cardinals a couple of years ago really traveled well there, and England was very well represented at those games. So this is baseball saying we got to grow this game globally. Best way to do it is to take our best players to another country and show everyone what we can do.
Talk with Tim Kirkjian right here on 105.3 The Fan. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I will be embarrassed if I am wrong. You were beat writer for the morning news from 81 through 85 for the Rangers, so you saw some pretty tough baseball, right?
Yeah, we had a debate with Sheldon Ocker, who used to cover the Indians. I claimed that I wrote the most losing game stories in the 80s of any writer. Sheldon told me I'm dead wrong, and I think he's right, but I'm in the conversation there. Yes, the Rangers were pretty bad in the years that I covered them, but it was still such a great thrill for me because I was like 12 years old when I was covering the team. I had no idea what I was doing, but it was great. And I loved being at the ballpark every night, as I knew I would, because this is all I ever wanted to do with my life and my career. But yes, Rangers were bad when I was there. And yet it sure was a fun bad to be around.
I know it took a long time to get to the other side, but was there any level of joy for you when the Rangers won the World Series then a couple years ago?
Well, I'm not allowed to root for anything, and
right.
I don't, but I root for good stories, and that was a great story that the Rangers won the World Series for the first time in their history. And yes, it took me back to my days when I covered the team, spring training of 82. I'd been in town for 3 weeks covering the team. Mickey Rivers, the everyday center fielder, was making $450,000 a year. Asked me, he'd known me for 3 weeks, asked me, Tim, can I borrow $2,000? I said, Mick, I'm making $12,000 a year. I don't have $2,000 to load you. That was my indoctrination to Ranger baseball in spring training of 82, and every day was filled with something funny, amusing, entertaining, and educational.
Did he tell you what the money was going to be for, at least?
I think we all knew Mick had a little bit of trouble at the track, and Buddy Bell, who was the best player on the team, and again, I had no idea what I was doing that spring, but he whispered to me, Tim, don't loan him any money. You'll never see it again. And Mickey, of course, turned out to be one of my favorite players ever, an absolute gem of a guy and a really good player in his day.
What are some of the storylines that you might be monitoring for this year's 2025 Rangers that we're excited to get started here?
Yeah, well, obviously the key is Jacob deGrom. Exactly what are we going to see from him, and how much are we going to see from him? When he's right, fellas, he's as good a pitcher as we've seen in the last 10 years. I mean, just go look at those numbers from the prime of his career. It was ridiculous how good he was, and it seems like the velocity is up, way up in the 90s, and it looks like he's scaling it back to try to stay healthy. So I think the whole key to the entire pitching staff is what are you going to get from him? But with this much time off and as athletic as he is, my guess is he's going to be a very productive pitcher this year, not for 230 innings, but if you can get 160 innings out of Jacob deGrom at his best, that's a pretty good thing. So that's the first and foremost thing with the Rangers. The other thing is, their offense is the best in the American League when everyone's healthy, which didn't happen like at all last year because everyone got hurt and a couple guys who weren't hurt didn't swing it like we thought they would. But they are a really good offensive team. So the combination of their offense and Jacob deGrom coming back to lead what could be a pretty good starting rotation, that's a pretty good way to start.
We're all hoping that the pop is back with that Rangers offense, because 233 home runs the year they won the World Series, only 176 last year. You bring in Berger, you bring in Peterson. Outside of just being a quality offense, it feels like a very power-heavy offense, too.
Oh, of course. I mean, Wyatt Langford's only touched where he's going as a major league player. Evan Carter missed most of the year last year. Adolis Garcia just wasn't the same. Josh Young got hurt. Even Marcus Semien hit a slump, and Corey Seager got hurt for a while. So I really like their offense. I just find it hard to believe that all the guys who got hurt or slumped last year are going to do that again. I don't see that at all. I think they're going to score a ton of runs, and they're going to be back well over 200 homers this year. I'm pretty sure of that.
The one and only Tim Kirchen with us here on 105.3 The Fan, the KNC Masterpiece. So getting ahead of myself big time here, but if Bruce Bochy is able to follow the trend he had with the Giants, where you win World Series every other year, and he's able to now win two World Series as the manager of the Texas Rangers, having won multiple with the Giants, what does that do for his legacy as one of the best skippers of all time?
Well, he's already in the Hall of Fame, even though he's still managing. But people will look at him and say, all right, if they win this year, as you say, that's five World Series in a matter of less than 20 years. And he resurrected the Rangers the minute he walked into the door. I saw it with my own eyes. And the way he managed the Giants, especially their bullpen, is going to elevate him to some pretty high levels here. Not too many guys won five World Series. Again, his career winning percentage is not going to be up there with Joe McCarthy and the greatest managers, Earl Weaver of all time. But when it comes to winning championships and changing the fortune of teams, he's going to be pretty high on that list, especially of the managers we've seen for the last 30, 40, 50 years.
I know we talked obviously about DeGrom and how that does feel so key to everything the Rangers are doing. What's the confidence level around baseball? Maybe what's your confidence level in Leiter and Rocker? Because it feels like a lot is going to be put on them this season as well.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure they're ready, but I'm a big believer that the light goes on. It's the hardest game in the world to play. I've seen people struggle at this at young age, at older age, and you got to give both of these guys some time. Leiter has been up, of course, struggled mightily at times. Rocker's been up and down, minor leagues, everywhere else. But I'm a big believer. You have a great arm. You come from the college program that they came from. It's only a matter of time before both of those guys are not just good, but really, really good. They just need some time to figure this out. And again, you're facing big league hitters on a daily basis. You make a mistake to those guys, they don't hit a line drive single to left field. They hit it 30 rows up. But I there's no doubt with the level of talent both those guys have, they will be number one and number two starters in this rotation sooner rather than later.
Do you think there's any hope for a Patrick Corbin turnaround, or is he just somebody who's going to be added because we need a left-handed pitcher and a lot of innings?
Yeah, but that says a lot. I believe he's made 30 or more starts every year starting in 2017. I think he's the only one to do that. And yes, innings are great, but if you're going out there and get pounded, innings aren't that important. But every team needs somebody who is durable and can go to the post, and Patrick Corbin can. He's still got a really good slider from what I can tell. He is a fantastic athlete, meaning he can make adjustments. So I just think they get a hold of a guy like that who's had some real struggles in recent years, says, hey, let's try this. Hey, let's fix this. There's no telling where he could go. If he's your fifth starter and he throws 200 innings or high hundreds, it's pretty darn good.
And thank you very much for the time. Hope you're able to get some rest. And we appreciate all the information you brought us today.
Okay, fellas, take care.
There you go.
Thank you, sir.
Tim Kirkjian, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, real quick, I need you to address this, Zach.
Yeah.
From the 214. What is going on with your station? It's playing Chicago Bears and Chicago Cubs sports talk, and they're full of crap. What's the story?
This is strange to me. I don't know, but they're probably talking a lot of Ditkas. There's probably a lot of Ditkas, da Bears, da Sausage, da Cubs, a lot of Ditka talk, a lot of sausages. I think maybe you should just like flip the dial back and forth.
Mm.
Or maybe you're listening on the Odyssey app. I don't know what's going on with you, but nobody else is seeming to have a problem. This might be a user error, and I love you, 214.
We'll see. Coming up next, how much better did that Bears offensive line get? No, I'm just kidding.
Caleb Williams,
MVP.
Kidding.
I'm kidding.
Benny J.
We're going to go back to the Cowboys, back to the draft next right here on The Fan.